35. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 30 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, November the 11th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfeld, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We got a good show lined up for you that I'll tell you about in just a moment. First, though, I want to recognize that it is Veterans Day and want to send out my thanks to all of those that have served, both past, present, and I guess might as well thank those that are planning on serving in the future. I know there are young men and women that are already enrolled in ROTC or that are making plans to go into the military, and we appreciate them as well, because our country, our freedom certainly depends on our military and the folks that that choose to protect what we stand for in this country. So again, I thank those veterans that served, you know, in the past, obviously those that are in the military right now, and those that are planning to have a career in the military. This is a special day, and despite all the changes that we've gone through in the last, I don't know, 25, 30 years in this country, it seems like a lot has changed, but the fact that we still set a day aside for veterans is very significant, and I wanted to start off the show by saying thank you very much to all of our veterans that are out there, and particularly those that are listening or that are, you know, regular listener to my show. So thank you very much. All right, before we go any further, too, I also want to let you know this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it's just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more. Go to alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. But join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, the Rocket Man, Drudy Arman, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, will be with us at 9:30 to talk Bama football and basketball. And then at 10:30, Marcus Dupree, a friend who I got to know when I was working over in Mississippi. Of course, was the subject of the incredible 30 for 30 on ESPN, the best there ever was. 1982 graduate of Philadelphia High School in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Signed with Oklahoma. Barry Switzer changed the offense from the wishbone to the eye to feature Marcus, who averaged over 8 yards a carry. And when he was healthy, was something to behold. 6'3", 240 pounds, sprinter speed. And if you're, you know, somebody that's not familiar with Marcus, just go on social media, Google him, or go on Twitter and type his name in and look at the clips. He left Oklahoma after 1 year and wound up going to the USFL at the age of 19, signed a big contract with the New Orleans Breakers, and tore up his knee. And then after 5 years out of the game, this is how incredible an athlete he was. Well, he ballooned up to 300 pounds. He decided in 1990 to get in shape and got himself in shape. And despite the fact that his knee, this was before the days of arthroscopic or, you know, full-fledged knee surgery, wasn't the same athletically, he made the Los Angeles Rams roster. What a comeback. I think at the time he was probably, 26 years old, something like that, 27, and made the Rams. So incredible story, but obviously the Oklahoma-Alabama game this weekend. So we're going to feature Marcus at 10:30, get his thoughts on the game, Oklahoma football, Barry Switzer, his career, and more. So that'll be a lot of fun. I've haven't featured Marcus before, but great guest. And as I said, for someone who I'm the same age as Marcus, graduated high school in 1982, that was the era of the running back. you know, coming up in the late 70s and early 80s, mid 80s. That was the era of the Herschel Walkers, the Bo Jacksons, the George Rogers, and but for power, speed, there's not been a better combination of ever than Marcus Dupree. And I tell you this, when you watch this video, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Coaches from Texas and Oklahoma literally rented apartments in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and lived there during the recruiting process. And he considered Alabama. I'll ask you about that. But he knew Coach Bryant was, you know, not going to coach that much longer. But we'll ask him about that as well. And he had a son that actually attended Alabama for a short time under Dennis Franchione. So look forward to having Marcus with us at 10:30. Also, yesterday was press conference day at the University of Alabama. And we had, of course, Coach DeBoer speak, along with the coordinators, Coach Grubb and Coach Womack. And you know how this works. You try to get that sound on, but a lot of times we can't do it because of phone calls. And that's fine. When we get phone calls, we're going to take the phone calls. But if we get an opportunity, we're going to run some of that audio from yesterday. Monday Night Football last night, golly, we turned back the clock. We don't see many games like that anymore. It was cold in Green Bay, the frozen tundra, if you will, and two of the best teams in the NFC, the Eagles and the Packers, locked up, and it was a defensive battle. Philadelphia won 10-7. It was no score at the half. That's the first time since 2009 that there had been no score at the half of a Monday Night Football game. And then the Eagles kicked a field goal, and then in the fourth quarter, Jalen Hurts hit Devontae Smith, bam at a Bama, and that put the Packers behind 10-0, but they came back, and another Bama player, Josh Jacobs, scored a touchdown on a 6-yard run to make it 10-7, but the Eagles hung on, despite the fact that Nick Sirianni, with 20-something seconds to go in the ball, I think right around the 42-yard line of Green Bay, on 4th and 6, decided to go for it. I don't know what he was thinking. He never, and people that were questioning it weren't saying he should try the field goal, not in that wind. But most people felt like the guy would punt. Instead, he turned the ball over at the 42-yard line or somewhere in that range, and the Packers had a chance to line up and try a field goal at the end of the game. It just, and he never seemed to understand when he was deciding whether to go for it or not, or kick a field goal. Most people were saying punt the ball down. And then the Packers would not even have had a chance to try to kick a field goal. But he didn't seem to understand that. In the post-game press conference, he just kept on talking about we weren't going to try a field goal in that situation, and I trust my guys. But anyway, Philadelphia won the game. Bama women's basketball last night, they absolutely destroyed Alcorn State, and they're 3-0 on the season. The men's basketball team, of course, has Purdue coming up. Now number 2. They were number 1 last week. They didn't lose, but Houston moved ahead of them in the AP poll. So Purdue is number 2. That's going to be a huge game Thursday night. So a lot going on. We're off and running. If you want to join the program, 205-342-9904 is the number. 205-342-9904 is the number for the Gary Harris Show. Judy Armand at 9:30. Marcus Dupree at 10:30. Your phone calls, some audio, if we get a chance to get to it, from the press conference just yesterday. And it's a beautiful morning. It's cold, really cold this morning, but it is beautiful, and it's going to warm up nicely. And as I mentioned yesterday, the forecast for the game this week, 2:30 kickoff at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, 74 degrees. How nice is that? All right, we're going to get to our first break. And if you want to give us a ring, go ahead and do so. We'll be right back on the Gary Harris Show on this Veterans Day in Tuscaloosa. Stay with us.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. 2 people are dead, 1 in stable condition after a triple shooting at Woodlawn Manor Apartments just off of James I. Harrison Parkway on Tuscaloosa's south side. The incident happened around 11:30 last night. The complex is considered an active crime scene, and much of the parking lot continues to be blocked off.
at Bryant Conference Center. Explore local shops, artists, and restaurants all in one place. Free admission, presented by Visit Tuscaloosa and Premier Service Company.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Lemonade are the perfect play call for your party. So before kickoff, remember that football starts with food. Fusackley's, proud partner of the Crimson Tide.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out.
You contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, North River Timber CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
A few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
All right, 9:20. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And we've got the Rocket Man, Drew Army, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we're going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcome in Robbie. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Happy Tuesday and happy Veterans Day. And like you said, thank you to all those that have served. My family's very big in the military, all from Army to Marines, which celebrated their birthday yesterday, to Navy, to Air Force. And so I played in a Veterans golf tournament yesterday, and wow, that was the coldest I think I've ever been on a golf course. Like,
where did y'all play at?
We played at Trent Jones, the Ridge course right over there by Ross Bridge. And
right,
yeah, you know, we played it every year because I represent my family. My uncle, who was a Marine that passed away a couple years ago, he was a major, and that was one of my idols. So I used to play with him, but now that he's passed, I'm still going to play for him. And we did really well. I actually played better than I thought I played in a long time. And maybe I just need layers so I don't overswing. Man, it was cold.
Yeah, it was chilling.
I'm thankful for everybody in the military, what they do.
Oh, well. Hey, I want to mention while I got you on, because you helped me with it, I got a new restaurant sponsor coming on board, Rock and Roll Sushi, downtown Tuscaloosa. And got by and saw Michael yesterday, and we'll be talking about Rock and Roll Sushi. But Robbie helped me with that connection. And I want to mention, too, because I've eaten there before, even before the advertising. They've got great sushi, but they've got those great, bento food as well. I love that Japanese style cooking, so it's a really neat place.
Oh, it is, and they're such a huge Striker Strong supporter, and just great people all the way around. And they have Rock and Roll Sushi everywhere, but that Tuscaloosa location is a good site. Great food, great drinks. You know, I love my sake too, so Japanese beer and everything. But the food is amazing, and like I said, great.
Yeah, great location downtown. They're really neat atmosphere. The rock and roll theme is very, very cool, especially for me, a music fan. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about Rock and Roll Sushi, but Robbie helped me with that account, so that's pretty cool. What are your thoughts on the – Jeremy said got Mark Spree on this morning, so great story there. But what are your thoughts on Alabama and Oklahoma?
I think it's going to be one of those games again. It's just, you know, yeah, they beat us last year at their place, and their defensive line is, you know, one of the best in the country, and – you know, they can score points. But I like the way we're playing. I know LSU wasn't pretty, but that's always just a fight in that game. You know, every now and then one team will blow the other out, but it's always one of those games with just great athletes. A lot of those guys are going to be in the NFL from LSU, whether their record, you know, shows that. But they got some players. So I thought it was a great win. You know, we could have gone up there at the end, but we decided to kneel, which we didn't need to score. So that game, we could have put that game even further away and had some, you know, show points right there, but we didn't. So I think we'll be ready. I hope there's not a lot of injuries. We got some guys back, and we'll be ready to go. You know, they had the week off. You don't know if they're going to come out a little sluggish, you know, being a week off, like it happens. But I think we'll be ready. 2:30 game, the weather's going to be great from what I see. We're actually...
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be sunny and 74. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's just great football weather. So, and it's homecoming. So, which, you know, it's kind of weird we're playing them for homecoming, but it is what it is. But I think we'll be ready. I like the way we're playing and we're clicking. And they're going to have to stop us. You know, I feel like our running game will get there. I know we're not getting a lot of yards, but those guys are working hard. We got some good backs, and you can't stop all our receivers. And we're going to have to run the ball, but I think we'll get it figured out this week. This will be the week we put it all together. And, I mean, if we win, that puts us SEC, right? I mean, I know we still have Auburn after, but we win this, that would only give us even if whatever happens to Auburn, right? If I'm
I would think right? So. I haven't broken it down yet because, but yeah, based on, you know, the only reason I hesitate to say for sure is Ole Miss still just has one loss, and Alabama doesn't play Ole Miss. So somehow if it came out a situation where Alabama had a loss and Ole Miss had a loss and A&M was undefeated or, you know, had a loss, I don't know if he guarantees Alabama a spot or not. So I'd have to, you'd have to wait and see how it plays out.
It's weird the way they calculate, but I figured they would go to a head-to-head, like they lost to Georgia, we didn't. So I don't know. I guess it all depends on how they set that up. But either way, it's a
big game. If you beat Oklahoma, I think you've pretty much locked up your spot in the college football playoff, regardless of whether you go to Atlanta or not. So,
definitely.
It's a big game. It's a huge game, you know. And it's they were the team, as we talked about, that knocked Alabama out last year. I mean, if Alabama beats Oklahoma, they're in the college football playoff last year. There's no doubt about it. They're not playing Michigan down there in Tampa, and it's a whole different. It's a whole different season. So there's a lot on the line for this year, and I think there is a lot of, you know, I don't know if payback's the right word, but, you know, Ty Simpson made it clear after the game Saturday night that they remember what happened out there last year, you know, and they want to get, they want to get it corrected.
You know, we can also return the favor. We beat Oklahoma. That knocks them out of the football playoff completely.
I mean, right? Oh, it does. Absolutely. You're exactly right. You can return the favor, and because they're still in the hunt. So, hey, all right, Robbie, I'm gonna get to another call, man. Good to hear from you. And real quick update on Stryker. Are you doing well?
Oh, he's doing fantastic, Gary. I mean, he's sleeping better, and he is just being back to him right now, laughing and just cutting up.
Wow.
So, it's been really nice. Those injections.
Great news.
About a few weeks ago worked. So, thank you for all the prayers. Roll Tide.
That's awesome, man. All right, thank you, Robbie. All right, let's get to Steve here in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm really glad you've got Marcus Dupree on. I have a little bittersweet about that. I just thought he was probably the greatest thing I ever saw. It also sort of ticks me off because we were cheated out of an incredible talent. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, were the wrong people in his ear during his career?
Yeah, he had an advisor named Ken Fairley, who he trusted completely. And, but in the end, Ken Fairley did not do him right and, caused him a lot of financial grief. And, if anybody that hasn't watched it, you can find it on demand or on YouTube. If you get a chance to watch The Best That Ever Was, the 30 for 30 on ESPN, it will document for you everything that happened in his life. And as Steve just alluded to, if you haven't watched it, listen, Bo and Herschel and George Rogers and all of these guys, they were incredible talent, but believe it or not, they weren't as big as Marcus. Marcus was bigger than those guys. And it's just as fast. And as a high school running back, pretty much was untackable. They just couldn't tackle him. And when he got to Oklahoma, what he was able to do in the short period that he played there was phenomenal, including the bowl game against Arizona State when he was overweight, he'd been hurt,
and Arizona State had the number one rushing defense in the country. And I think he gashed him for 200-something yards in the first half.
That's
just a phenomenal talent, like you said.
That's what I'm saying. I just feel like the world, if not the at least the United States, was cheated out of a rare talent. And I'm not sure that the potential, of course, we'll never know. And that's the whole thing about it. We'll really never know. But I just felt like the potential was just, you know.
Oh, it was off the charts. Like I said, the biggest proof of how great he was again, because I was there. I documented it. I did a story on him when he was making his comeback, was after he had, gotten hurt and not played for 5 years, ballooned up over 300 pounds. He got in his grandmother's, one of those aluminum storage sheds, and he would put an electric heater in there, Steve, and get that thing up to like 115, 120 degrees. And he would work out and lift and constantly and run. And he got himself back down in shape, despite the fact that he really was limited as far as what he was.
Right.
But still went out, tried out for the Los Angeles Rams, and made that team probably 60% of what he was physically, and still was good enough to make an NFL roster at 26, 27 years old, and haven't had major knee surgery. It's just quite a story.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Gary. I always said the best running back I ever saw, because Marcus Dupree never made it. After that, it is now and will forever more be, at least in my opinion, Barry Sanders. Herschel Walker was not a professional. He never made it big in the pros. Bo Jackson sort of split his duties. Nothing against any one of them. They were great players. But, Barry Sanders was with the Lions, and he never pouted, never whined. And I just always liked him so much. But
he was great. He was tremendous. He was tremendous. Hey, thank you, Steve. So good to hear from you.
Thank you, Gary.
And, of course, we've been blessed here in the last 10 years to see Derrick Henry, who is a throwback to those kind of guys. The big, strong, fast tailbacks of the 70s and the 80s. All right, we're going to take a time out here and come back with Rocket Man Drew DeArmond talking some ball next here on the Gary Harris Show.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:34. Welcome back in the Gary Harris Show, and you hear it right there, the Rocket Man. It's time for Drew DeArmond, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, a weekly contributor to the Gary Harris Show, many other shows, also TiderInsider.com, and we're ready to talk a little ball. How's it going, Drew?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Let's start. I want to start with hoops this week. I know football is at the forefront, but you and I both really – love basketball, and what we saw Saturday at Madison Square Garden, the mecca for basketball in this country, in New York City, was a performance that, quite frankly, I was surprised. I'm not going to – no revisionist history here. I thought St. John's would win the game, Drew. I mean, you look at that starting lineup, how much money they've invested in those guys. You got, I think, a top five coach of all time in Rick Pitino. They're playing at Madison Square Garden. It's an early game. Alabama's still, kind of finding its way and had not been healthy for the first game against North Dakota, and still got, a couple of guys out. But to go in there and hang 103 on Rick Pitino, shoot the ball the way they did, Holloway and Filon were electric, 103-96. I thought it was as impressive a win as maybe I'm getting a little carried away here, because Nate Oates has had so many incredible wins, but I thought it was as impressive a win considering the situation as I've seen at Alabama with Nate Oates. I was really blown away by how well Alabama played.
Well, I mean, I thought Alabama would compete well. I wasn't sure they were ready to win in the Garden yet, but certainly LeBaron Filon got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he really got cooking. in the second half. He ended up with a career-high 25. I thought he played a good floor game as well. I thought Aiden Holloway was tremendous until he fouled out with 3 or 4 minutes to go. And it just became obvious in the first 10 minutes of the game that that St. John's was having a lot of trouble, keeping Alabama's guards in front of them. And Alabama was able to get downhill, able to attack. And then, of course, supplement that with some good three-point shooting. Certainly, especially Holloway in the first half, he was really good. Millett kind of got it started hitting his first shot. Ironically, though, it wasn't Houston Millett's best game. He's going to be a big part of that, that foursome of guards. But he didn't have a great one. But with Trell Reitzel coming off the bench, certainly had 17 and looked like his old self. He even had to overcome a little bit of an ankle injury. But toughed it out and did a great job. But I really thought that the wild card in the whole situation was Taylor Bull-Bowen was tremendous. I thought he looked really good against FSU. He wasn't as big a factor in the game against Furman. And then Nate Oates kind of sent him a message after the North Dakota game that you got to get on the glass, man. You're going to have to, be one of Alabama's better rebounders. And he's a really good fit for the system. Because he can run, he can get up and down. He made a big three from the top of the key, but he's also really good in their pick and roll game, getting to the rim. He had a nice alley-oop dunk from Aiden Holloway as well. He just does a lot of things. He blocked 3 or 4 shots. I just thought he was really good on both ends of the floor, played with high energy, and I think he's going to be a big-time factor. And I think his play helped offset the loss of Keaton Bristow, who was out. They need to get him back. They had to play, Aiden Sherrill, did a nice job starting. I thought he had a better game than he did against North Dakota. And certainly they had to use Noah Williamson because they didn't have a lot of depth in the post. But I thought, Noah struggled a little bit with the athleticism. I think he'll be okay down the, in future games. But they really need to get Keaton Bristow back. But you saw the impact, that Taylor Bull-Bowen can have. He can be a guy that's a 3-and-D guy. He can guard multiple positions. He can stretch you out, and he can finish at the rim. So I just thought he was tremendous. And really, after watching the team play, this team has a high ceiling. They're not as experienced and old as they were a year ago, but I think they're a little deeper, or at least they've got the potential to be, and they're more athletic. And it's a team, as Nate said in the preseason, that can shoot it as well as any he's ever had. And so, but I think the big key, though, is Amari Allen, London Jimison, and Davion Hanna. Amari had a good game. Jimison, you saw a little flash here and there. And then Davion Hanna got banged up early and wasn't a big factor. But they've already shown in the two games, all three of them, some potential to make plays. And if those three guys continue to get better with what Alabama already has, this has a chance to be a very, very dangerous basketball team.
Yeah, it does. And this challenging non-conference schedule, of course, continues this week on Thursday night. Number 2, Purdue. They were number 1 last week. And much like the football situation with Oklahoma, this is the chance for a little payback. Purdue thumped Alabama pretty good last year up there. So now you get them at your place. And what do you expect from this game?
Well, it's a very difficult matchup. No question about it. Jackson Wren has not played yet this year, really, for Purdue. He's been a little bit banged up. We'll see, his availability for Thursday. They've got, a very talented team returning, though, at Purdue that can really play. They've got a lot of experience. And don't forget, they got a transfer portal addition in Oscar Clough, who gave Alabama a lot of trouble at South Dakota State last year. He's 6'11". He had been at Washington State. He's a load down low. I believe he gave Alabama a double-double last year. So he's a good fit for what they do. They've got their All-American point guard, Braden Smith, back. He's a tremendous player. So right. Purdue is very, very good, man. They're a system program. They may not have McDonald's All-American type guys, but they do a very good job of identifying who can play in their system and how they play. And they play at a little bit slower pace and an inside out, which is, has given Alabama some problems in the past, but having them in Coleman Coliseum should be great. The crowd should be electric, be very excited after the St. John's win, and it'll be a heck of a challenge, certainly. I think it may be a potentially Painter's best team, and, of course, we know a couple years ago he went to the national championship game. So it's just a really good program, and it'll really be a good test for Alabama coming off of that road win in the Garden.
Yeah, high-level November basketball in Tuscaloosa on the national stage. That's what Nate Oates has brought to the Crimson Tide. All right, let's get to football. And before we look ahead, we'll look back. I've said this all season, Drew, and we've talked about it in the modern era, particularly in the SEC, it's about winning the game. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, it's a fine line between winning and losing. So I want to give Alabama a lot of credit. They won the game. And, you know, they've won eight in a row and got themselves in position to do something special. Having said that, I didn't think it was a great game for the Tide offensively. I thought that, the lack of the running game now has really become noticeable and to the forefront. I mean, when you rush it for 56 yards and your starting running back averages 1.6 yards per carry, that's a lot for your quarterback to overcome. I didn't think Ty was as sharp as we've seen him. He made enough plays. They won the game. The defense, I thought, played arguably its best game. Of course, you have to consider LSU's offense is not great. But what did you make of that performance, and what are your takeaways as they get ready to face Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, I thought that they played their best complimentary football of the year. It's kind of funny to say that because certainly they didn't play an outstanding offensive game. But I thought defensively – and I understand LSU came in not playing well on offense, but I thought Alabama did a great job holding them to field goals. I thought it was probably Alabama's most complete defensive game of the year. Yonze Pierre wasn't a huge factor in the first half, but he certainly was in the second with that sack and then the strip sack later on. I thought London Simmons did some great things. I thought LT Overton really brought it. Secondary was solid. So I thought they played really well. And then I thought the special teams, I know Talty missed the 26-yarder, but he made a 45-yarder, a 44-yarder. And then the 44-yarder was huge late at coming off of that miss to kind of ice the game. And then I think the last several weeks, Blake Dow has been really good. And he pinned LSU inside the two, and that helped Alabama close it out. So, and then offensively, certainly it wasn't a Picasso. Alabama missed some opportunities vertically within the passing game that they need to hit against Oklahoma, because I think Oklahoma's secondary can be had, but the running game was just not good enough. They've got to find a way to manufacture some sort of running game, whether it's conventional, whether it's reverses, whether it's getting Germ the ball five or six times the runner. And I think that needs to happen. I think Germ needs to touch the ball more. I didn't think he got targeted enough on this past Saturday. He's going to have to do that against OU. No question, because Oklahoma's got the best run defense in the league. But I think you can throw the football on him potentially if you can block them up front and give Ty time. But they've got a great pass rush. But Tennessee did too, and Alabama handled that. But Oklahoma's tougher on D. But they're just going to have to. I'm going to be interested to see the running back rotation. I think we need to see more of Daniel Hill and, you know, kind of how they attack Oklahoma. I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of wish they'd come out, Gary, and kind of shock OU and come out up-tempo and like in a two-minute drill, because I think Alabama's been tremendous in the two-minute drill all year. And if they kind of hurried up no huddle of Oklahoma, I think they could jump on them early. And getting ahead of OU, especially with John Mateer's struggles as a passer, I know their running game's improved with Xavier Washington, but if Alabama can jump on Oklahoma early, especially if they can force the Sooners into a couple of mistakes and turn them over, I think would be huge.
All right. Well said. This game Saturday has a lot on the line for Alabama, clearly. But not to mention the fact that what Oklahoma did last year in Norman, when Alabama was a big favorite and had really looked like solidified themselves coming off a blowout win at LSU, it kept Alabama out of the college football playoff last year. So you got a payback factor here. And normally I don't put much stock in that, but after listening to Ty Simpson Saturday night in the postgame, Drew, and you heard it too, he made it clear. that was a weird game last year for them. You know, it had been warm during the day. It got cold at night. He called it a little spooky. The Alabama didn't play well. And they remember that. And for the guys that were on the team last year, of course, a lot of the new guys as well. But I think, so I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know about this, that they circled it at all, any of that kind of stuff. But I think it's big for what's at stake this year. But I think the players that went out there and suffered that loss last year want to get a little payback, Drew.
Well, and there are a few of them that are back. You know, there's a lot of new players, too. And you just got to be ready to play. Venables is as good a defensive mind as you're going to see in the Southeastern Conference. Now, you know, and Alabama's got to, you know, do their job on defense. Kind of like what I've said, you know, people talk about Alabama scoring on Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma has to score on Alabama. They have to limit Oklahoma's running game with Mateer, you know, with their tailbacks. And then they've got to put Oklahoma in some down and distance situations where you can force Mateer maybe to get greedy and potentially turn the ball over. He certainly did against Tennessee late, nearly cost them the game. But I think it's going to be key for Alabama to win, turnover battle. And they need to contain Mateer. He does like to run it, so they need to keep him in the pocket, make him throw, make him beat them doing that. And certainly you're right, Gary. I don't think there's any Alabama football player that's not keenly aware of what happened last year and the egg that Alabama laid. Oklahoma was not having a good year. The Tide was a big favorite, and everybody thought Alabama was still headed to the college football playoff, but that loss kept them out. And so they're very close to getting to the playoff and even getting to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. And to me, that's the key. Alabama, you know, needs to get this win for its resume against Oklahoma at home. Then you've got to beat Auburn. I mean, I'm sorry, and I do believe they're gonna rout East Illinois, but you've got to beat Auburn this year because, to me, if you can't win these last two SEC games, you're not going to be a college football playoff team. I think this team is, and I think if you can get to Atlanta, you know you're already in. And so then you kind of are playing with house money, playing somebody like a Texas A&M. So. But you just want to control what you can control, and that's you got to go out there and beat Oklahoma. It's a really good football team, but it'll be a college football playoff-like game. And I just think Alabama, they need to come up with a plan, you know, to be able to, you know, keep Oklahoma off balance. I still would say attack them through the air to start. I think it needs to be a game plan maybe similar to what we saw in 2007 against Tennessee, who came into Bryant-Denny Stadium favored. An Alabama onside kick. They came out gunning. They used the draw and the trap to run the football. And I think if they do something similar to that and spread Oklahoma out, I think they can beat the Sooners. But if you're trying to get in tight formations, it's going to be very difficult because of how good they are defensively. But I do think there's some matchups Alabama can exploit because I do think this Alabama receiver core is a lot deeper than some of them that Oklahoma have faced.
All right, I want to ask you, you mentioned Auburn, you know, how it happens when you fire a coach in season. Now it's all coming out about, you know, their stories being written about how Freeze wasn't invested and how little time he spent and as compared to what most big-time football coaches spend around the program. And I get that. They want to now, you know, cut ties with Freeze. But they went to Vanderbilt. They look like a different team offensively. Of course, the flip side of that was they also gave up 45 points defensively. A.J. Durkin, though, yeah. Seems to have, you know, he seems to be the fan base, you know, seems to be fired up about him. And they're on bye this week. But what do you make of the Auburn situation and you know, where do you think they go in terms of a head coach?
Well, it's hard to say right now. I do think John Summerall would be on the short list. He's done a great job trying to get that big win over Ryan Silverfield in Memphis this past week. Certainly, he's still got a chance to win the American and make the college football playoff. I think Kenny Dillingham, who has a great offensive mind, is another one. You know, I know he's at his alma mater at Arizona State, but who knows? They may be tapped out financially. And then, no matter who you bring in, Gary, you've got to retain that roster. Certainly, you know, Cam Coleman's going to be a wanted guy by everybody, but he's a heck of a talent, no doubt about it. The one interesting thing that's come out of this thing, and this would involve the new coach or if DJ Durkin got the head coaching job, is that Auburn, there's a distinct possibility that Deuce Knight or maybe Jackson Arnold is back in the starting lineup against next week. Not this week, they're on a bye, but next week against Mercer, because guess what? Ashton Daniels can still redshirt and then come back and play at Auburn or somewhere else. And so he can sit out the game and let someone else play against Mercer and then still be eligible to come back and play in the Iron Bowl. So that's kind of interesting because he has that redshirt year. And who knows, the new coach at Auburn, whether it's Durkin or someone else, after we saw Daniels play the other night against the good Vanderbilt team, he lit it up. They may be very interested in keeping his services around along with those on this offense because the Singletons of the world, the Cam Colemans, they're going to be wanted by other squads, and Auburn's going to have to fight them off and fight them off for some of their defensive talent, especially if Durkin leaves. So there's a lot of uncertainty around this Auburn program, but if they beat Mercer, and I believe they will, and especially if they continue to play the way they did last week against Vanderbilt offensively, it's going to be a very tough road trip again on down on the plains for Alabama.
Great stuff as always, Drew. Let everybody know different places that they can hear you and keep up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. They can connect with me at Drew D 977 ESPN on X. Our X account is 977 ESPN. And then, of course, our website, if you missed Talking Ball with Scott Tyson, myself, our SoundCloud account is 97.7 The Zone, ESPN 97.7 The Zone, and our website is 977ESPN.com, and we always enjoy being on the Gary Harris Show. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Drew. 9:52, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one, get you ready for the second hour of the Gary Harris Show on this Veterans Day, right after this.
In fact, it's cold as hell. There's no one there to raise them.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
Diesel generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features Dave
in the House.
Free the Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today with a nice warm up after a very cold morning, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 33. And a beautiful day tomorrow, the sky sunny, the high in the mid 60s at 65. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Say the holiday season is here, and you know what that means. It means it's a festive time of the year. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to eat big meals, both at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and really as the weather gets chillier, hearty food is a big part of what we like. Football season winding down, colder tailgates, and so it's a time for enjoying yourself. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'll pick back up in the gym on January the 3rd or 4th or whatever it is. Don't do that. go ahead and get your workouts in now. Keep enjoying yourself, but get to the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. This is the best time of the year to work out because really you can have kind of counter some of the good things that you're going to enjoy. And you don't have to stop exercising, even if you're not eating up to your normal standard and you're lax with the diet. The YMCA is a beautiful facility with a great staff, and they'll help you reach your fitness goals. So don't wait until January. Go ahead, and if you're not a member, join now. Kickstart it. You know, kickstart it. Start getting fit. Start building up your endurance so you're really ready to go full speed when the new year comes. The YMCA can help you out with that. Downtown branch, 2300 13th Street. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one, brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. In the second hour, Marcus Dupree, a legend, coming up at 10:30. Also, we're going to try to get some of that audio from Kalen DeBoer from yesterday. More of your phone calls. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Philadelphia Eagles are now 7-2 after winning by a 10-7 final score at Green Bay Monday night. The Packers punted on their first four drives, then fumbled late first half. That from the quarterback Jordan Love. Packers were only down 3-0 early in the fourth quarter. The New York Giants fired coach Brian Daboll. The Giants' record over the past 2.5 years is 11-33. Washington head coach Dan Quinn is taking over defensive coordinator duties also. Commanders defensive lineman Deron Payne was suspended one game for throwing a punch at an opponent. The American League Rookie of the Year is Nick Kurtz of the A's. He got all 30 first place votes. A's shortstop Jacob Wilson finished second. The National League Rookie of the Year is Braves catcher Drake Baldwin. In the NBA,
your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt and Taco Casa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into hour number two of the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM, WTBC, the Tide 109 app, and Tide109.com, streaming live. Gary Harris and Chase Brumfield. And Chase, let me bring you in for a minute since we went so busily through the first hour and didn't even have a chance to say hello to you. How's everything going?
Everything's going pretty well. It's good to be back in the station, Gary. As always, it's good to hear your voice on air. But I'm doing okay. A little cold for my liking. But yeah, just good to be back in Alabama.
Yeah, it's chilly this morning. There's no doubt about that. But your Mississippi State Bulldogs, we talked about this. You know, you had opportunities to win some big games early that, quite frankly, should have won. You know, you look at Tennessee, you look at Florida, you look at Texas, and you don't get those wins, and then it kind of catches up with you. And now, unfortunately for Mississippi State, they're falling into that pattern that we've seen so often, Chase, in that they're going to be battling for, you know, bowl eligibility. And, you know, Georgia came in there Saturday and just really thumped the Georgia Bulldogs, really thumped the Mississippi State Bulldogs. It's unfortunate because I think Mississippi State has a better team, and the record is going to show. But at the same time,
when you get opportunities in this league and you've got somebody down, you got to put them away. You got to beat them. And State wasn't able to do that. Now it's catching up with them, Chase.
100%, Gary. It's just the thing you got to learn in the SEC. When you have somebody by the neck, you've got to put it away. Think about Tennessee, you know, with Florida, Texas. It's just their season, I feel like, would be in so much better standing if those games were turned around for them. And honestly, they might have been even contending for something a lot bigger. Maybe playoff because of the wins like that. Because they did beat Arizona State, which was ranked 12th at the time. They have the firepower, you know, they have the head coach and Jeff Lebby, and, you know, the defense is definitely holding up. It's just when they face power teams like Tennessee, like Texas, you know, A&M on the road, it's just something that's missing, and they need to figure it out quickly, or they're going to be looking back like, is Jeff Lebby a good hire? Because, you know, teams are firing coaches like it's nothing, you know, with Brian Kelly. You know, so many head coaches in the SEC, it's not this longevity anymore. So, you know, I hope my Bulldogs can turn it around, because I thought this was the season that they would figure things out. But, you know, I guess I got to go back to the drawing board and hopefully fight for at least some bowl eligibility, something to cap off the season.
Yeah, it's they'll be at the end of the year for a lot of teams. It's what could have been. And for some teams, it's what never was, because some teams just got off a terrible start. And for others, They finish it off, and it is about, you know, having a chance to play for a championship. So I think it's going to be one of those what could have been, what might have been seasons for Mississippi State. But they still have the Egg Bowl, and, boy, that would be a nice way for them to finish out the season in Starkville 2 weeks from Friday, and also might not Ole Miss out of the playoff if they can do that as well. So that's something to keep in mind. All right, let's get out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and talk to Cowboy. Hey, Cowboy, did you make it back to Dallas yet?
Yeah, finally, after 6 hours from when I got to the airport to leave, I got to Dallas at 12:30 last night, and home about 1:15 or so. Oh, Lord, I'm dragging today, but I made it. I didn't sleep.
Oh, good.
Let's see, 3.5 hours, 4, maybe. So there you go, but. Hey, they're firing Nico Harsin out here today. The fans.
I saw that. I saw that. I think that well, that game last night probably was the final straw. They had a big lead over the Bucks. I think a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter and let it get away. So they got some talent. He made the move to get rid of what's his name with the Lakers and
Doncic.
Yeah, Doncic and Luka. And so now he's going to pay the price.
Yeah, he said Luka would like to eat too many cheeseburgers and didn't like to work out. So that was a dumb
thing. Well, he wasn't all wrong about that. Problem is, the guy's got incredible talent. Now he's gone to L.A. and he is working out. And he's not eating the cheeseburgers. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal talent, a generational type talent. So he traded a guy like that away. And, of course, you know – they got the kid out of Duke, so I mean they still got a talented roster, and but they're not getting results.
I think that was the NBA trying to help Nico out, but the fans still wasn't having it. You know, because you had a 1% chance to win the lottery and you won it.
Yeah, and they did it. Yeah.
Well, you know, y'all were talking about Mississippi State there, Gary. And, you know, sometimes in a rebuilding a program process, you have to go through some tough losses to have that hunger in the heart and in your desire for next year. I think Mississippi State's okay. I think they got a good football coach in Jeff Lebby. They're learning how you're going to have to win football games this year. They were going to go from 2-10 in the SEC to 5-7, and could have been 7-5, 8-4. So they're gonna have that hunger in them. And I think the program's on the upswing. I really do, Gary. And they're just out of gas now. They got to get some more players, and they're just out of gas. They've given it all they got with what they got.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point of view. I'm going to take a little bit of another side of the story. I don't think, you know, going through tough losses is one thing. Blowing games is entirely different to me. And I think if you look at what Alabama has been able to do this year, you know, winning those games. That's the difference in where they're at right now and where a team like Mississippi State or Auburn's at, you know, when you're, you know, and so they're tough losses, but at the same time, but Mississippi State, I mean, you didn't have tough losses. I mean, you gave games away. I mean, you actually helped out Texas and Tennessee and Florida. Your mistake, I think some poor coaching by Jeff Levy. You know, it's like last night, Nick Sirianni got away with it, but you know, some of these young coaches, I don't know, you know, Sirianni last night, it never really dawned on him, even in the post game, that he could have punted that football down there at the 40-something yard line with 20-something seconds to go. He kept talking about, well, we weren't going to try a field goal in that wind, and you know, we got confidence. So fourth and six, he goes for it. I mean, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I think, you know, Levy made some decisions like that. You got to coach better. I mean, you've got to coach better. And maybe he'll learn. But, you know, you get these opportunities to beat these teams like Florida and Tennessee and Texas, and you don't do it. There's no guarantee just because you were close this year that you're going to come back and beat them next year. You know, I mean.
You've got a point, but maybe I'm looking at it more on the Bill Parcells theory. You know, when he took over the Giants, they were horrible, and they got better the next year and kept building. I based a lot of my coaching looks kind of on the Bill Parcells theory. I think they've made progress this year, Gary, but they don't know how to win in their heart. Even though they're up on those guys, they're going, you ever played somebody in tennis when you're playing and he's kind of beating you a lot and you're ahead of him and you're getting in your mind instead of just keep playing, okay, I can get him now. Then you start making mistakes. I think Mississippi State didn't know how to win, but when they came back against Arkansas down 14 in the fourth quarter, they could have said, oh, here we go again, but they showed me something and came back and won that game, and they're just not physically strong enough to play a Georgia team this late in the year, I don't think. But,
well, maybe so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they seemed as healthy as they've been at any other time. I mean, they were physical enough to play with Texas and Tennessee, and I don't know. I just think that there's no guarantees. And when you're Mississippi State, you got so many teams you're trying to leapfrog. You got opportunities to win those games. You need to win them. I take a little bit of a different viewpoint with you. I'm not as huge a Jeff Levy fan as you are, but we'll see. I mean, it's a tough job. There's no other way around it. Mississippi State is a tough job in this league. Not that it's not a good job. Not that they don't have resources. Not that they don't want to. They want to win too. But when you look at who they're having to compete with every year. I mean, you could come back next year. Maybe you beat some of those teams. Maybe you don't. So we'll see. All right, brother.
Well, you know, at Mississippi State, I think them and Ole Miss would be the same, except Ole Miss has just got a phenomenal talent of a coach that gets players. And, you know, Mississippi State, they don't have that situation. They got to build.
Ole Miss has got a guy right now that is a great coach. I mean, he's peculiar.
Yeah.
He can, you know, be quirky, but as far as offensive football acumen and coaching quarterbacks, Lane Kiffin's at the top of the heap. Now we'll see. We'll see if they can finish the drill. I mean, Ole Miss has, you know, they've never even been in the SEC championship game, which is remarkable when you think about it.
So he's still
got to prove he can do it. But as far as knowing how to get players, knowing how to coach them up, what he's done for Ole Miss has been phenomenal, and they're a national player right now. And maybe you're right. You know, Mississippi State had that run under Dan Mullen, where if it weren't for Alabama, Mississippi State might have won a national championship, or they might have been in a college football, a BCS national championship game, but they just couldn't get past the top, which is the case for a lot of teams.
One last thing. I think we're going to have some surprise hires in the league because, you know, what coaches are there? Not only some coordinators or recycle some guys. So I'm looking for some prize hires at these places that the pundits aren't out here throwing names at. That's kind of what I think, but I could be wrong. This has been a bad prediction year for me. I'm taking it in the chin pretty hard.
Well,
you know, and LSU, pay the man the money and quit embarrassing yourself. They're 4 years in the hole now. I'm going to say it right now. LSU's not going to recover from this for 4 years.
Yeah, this is a bad look trying to get out of play. And I was going to touch on that later. That's a bad look trying to get out of paying Brian Kelly is money. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's not a good look. You know, we'll see where it heads, but I think they're going to have to wind up paying him. I just don't think they've got the grounds to, you know, say that they fired him with cause. I mean, you know, he didn't do anything other than he didn't win.
An interim coach now. You know, they said they hadn't fired him yet, but they've already named the interim coach. What a clown show.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Good to hear from you, Cowboy. It is 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. And you need to get in the game, man. Listen to me. If you're having issues with endurance, or you're just not feeling well, you're dragging, maybe you've got that gut that you can't get rid of, Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, can help you with all of that. They offer convenient, expert-backed care for men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. And when they do your blood work, they'll have the results back in 15 minutes. So you can start on your personalized treatment right away with a three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and begin your customized treatment plan. Because you know what? If you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, those aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. It's a beautiful facility. The staff is professional and courteous. You will enjoy your visit, and it's a free consultation. There's absolutely, you can make a decision once you get there and visit with them. I guarantee you, if you're dealing with some issues as a man, they can help you. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. All right, we'll return to the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to try to get some Kalen DeBoer audio in the next segment. We'll be right back after this.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Two people are dead, one in stable condition after a triple shooting at Whitlawn Manor Apartments around 11:30 last night. Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville telling Fox Business News last night's second Senate vote to end the government shutdown is just a stopgap measure.
This bill only goes to the end of January.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday on Innisfree Irish Pub. Often imitated but never duplicated, Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
diesel generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today with a nice warm-up after a very cold morning, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, below 33. And a beautiful day tomorrow, the sky sunny, the high in the mid-60s at 65. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:21. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Press conference time yesterday for Alabama football. Coordinators Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack, as well as the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer, ahead of the Oklahoma game on this coming Saturday. Here's Kalen DeBoer yesterday, his press conference. We're going to listen to some of it, and may not get to all of it, but we're going to play a good portion of it. We'll have an opportunity. Here's Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head football coach, on Monday.
Good morning, and I know you heard from the coordinators. Talked a little bit after the game on Saturday as well. You know, just really feel like, you know, there's things we can continue to get better at, but very proud of the way we, you know, continue to find a way to win and you know, getting the resolve and the way the guys come back to work each and every day, but also in the game. Each series is its own. Each play is its own. And now we come to Oklahoma where each game is its own game. And so probably one thing, since you do talk to the offense, defense coordinators, you know, one thing to highlight, just I think our special teams did a nice job. I know we missed the field goal, but, you know, pinning LSU deep three times inside the 20 and the play down on the one, those are plays you work on and you just get a couple times every year to really make it happen. And our guys did that. And so I'm really proud of that, along with the kickoff coverage and just the coverage in general, you know, on kickoff punt. Our guys knew they had a challenge ahead of them this last weekend. If you really looked at what their stats were with those returners, it's pretty impressive, not just maybe this year, but over the course of their careers. And hats off to our guys. They really take a lot of ownership, not just in what they do on the field offensively, defensively, and individually. But our guys, you know, making an impact on special teams, I'm proud of them. So, you know, penalties, love the direction that continues to go. Just 2 for 25 yards and winning the takeover, winning the turnover margin, doing that each and every week. That's just really an identity of who we are. And we're going to have to really do that again this week because we're facing a team that I think abides by a lot of the same things that we emphasize when it comes to physicality, when it comes to, you know, winning the turnover margin, winning in the red zone, you know, each side of the ball for Oklahoma. The same thing applies to, you know, what we take a lot of pride in. So they have, you know, good skill with their special teams. And, you know, you can see the field goals and their punting game. They excel there. So going to take all three phases to have a win come out this weekend. But ready for the week of practice. I know the guys are excited.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Katie, second row on the left.
This is a little off topic, but there's a lot of former Bama guys, NFL guys, Saban guys there at the game on Saturday. Just what's your approach having former players around, even the ones that didn't play for you, and just kind of how does that benefit the guys currently in the program?
Yeah, I love it. This is their program. You know, it's ours all together, but they're the ones that built this and made it what it is, and love that they want to come back and are proud of what they accomplished and hopefully proud of what we're doing right now with so much recruiting and so forth. This week was probably one of those weeks where I didn't get to see as many as I normally do. And whether it's pregame or during the day or even the weekend, saw a few of them. Booker in particular, which is a guy from last year's team, he was around. And, you know, just that excites me because that's what we want. You want alumni to always feel like this is home and a place that they can come back to and be welcome and, you know, want to, you know, especially in the off season, it's a lot easier to do, but just really integrate everyone together. Our players, you know, hearing the stories, understanding the history, you know, learning as well on how they can continue to be better. Because a lot of these guys that are coming back have been in the NFL and understand what that next step looks like. And that's what our guys' goals and dreams are.
Shout out to Nick on the front right.
Yeah, right now the offense has the fewest turnovers per game in the SEC, and the defense has the most takeaways per game in the SEC. Have you ever had a team like that, or and what's been the key to having those two at the same time?
Yeah, it's emphasis. We talk about what our identity is, and what you just heard from me, and the things that I think are important are what our team heard Sunday. You know, when we got in the team room and reviewed what went well, where we got to improve. But we talk about that. It doesn't happen by accident. You know, we're working on ball security drills. We're working on, you know, stripping the ball, knocking it out. Nakai's punch on the ball was phenomenal. We made sure we highlighted that, not just what he's doing as a player, but that specific play. And emphasize even the one that we didn't get earlier, I believe it was the first drive of the game. And so, you know, you keep doing those things. You play the percentages. I brought up the Missouri game where a couple didn't fall our way, but in the end, we got some interceptions to finish out in the fourth quarter. And we're just talking about those plays. And it goes back to, you know, defensively, make the offense snap it again. The Tennessee game and the interception for a touchdown. The play at the end of the game against South Carolina. Our guys believe, and they know if they give the effort and practice and work on those skills, protecting the ball as an offensive player, going after it defensively and have that mindset and attacking, the habits or the habits that we have will lead to plays being made, and you create your own breaks.
Go to Chase, far left.
I know the coaching mentality tends to be this is this year and last year was last year, but is along with that, is there any reminder for the players that, hey, this is the team that kind of wrecked things last year goal-wise, or do you leave that to the veterans and the captains to remind players of that?
We have a lot of new players on the team, so there are players that didn't experience that. The ones that did certainly better remember and understand that, more importantly, that you're facing a really good program that, you know, obviously we went to their place and got beat up pretty good last year, and that's who's coming to town this week. And so, Coach Venables done an amazing job instilling a culture there. And, we know we got a team that is coming here hungry. They're in the hunt for a lot of different things as far as reaching their goals. But, you know, for us, we do then try to make sure that we always are focused on really this team being, what we're centered on and us improving. And that's the focus is, again, how did we get to this point this year to where we've had the success? What's it going to take to be our best on Saturday? And so, again, you try to hone in on that, but you can't help but remember, you know, the past. And those questions that you asked just now were also asked, you know, a few weeks ago when we played Vanderbilt and so forth. And so, you know, our guys, you know, should remember that because our experiences help us be better the next time around.
All right, there you go. Good stuff from Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer on Monday. 10:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're going to take time out. When we come back, Marcus Dupree, best there ever was, going to join us. Talk Alabama, Oklahoma, and more next here on the Gary Harris Show.
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com. on the app or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
Woo! Oh my God!
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The only time I say that this week. 10:32, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and we are joined by the legendary Marcus Dupree. Great week to have him on with Alabama playing Oklahoma. Of course, he played for the Sooners, heavily recruited by Coach Paul Bear Bryant to play at Alabama. His son, Marquez, played for the Crimson Tide for a period under Dennis Franchione. So Marcus is joining me to talk Bama, Oklahoma, and more. Good morning, Marcus. How you doing, man?
Man, I like that song you played, man. Boomer!
Like I said, that'll be the only time I say that this week. But catch us up on what all. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, catch us up on it before we get into football. Just catch us up on what all you got going on, you know, right now, where you're living and what all's happening with Marcus Dupree.
Well, I live in Biloxi, Mississippi, and we're working on some major camps with the Hall of Fame, the National High School Hall of Fame. We're doing like 12 or 13 camps across the country. December, we have a major combine for the high school kids in the area, Louisiana, whoever wants to come down in Ocean Springs, Mississippi on December the 14th. It's with the National High School Hall of Fame. The NFL will come in and do the timing. And the company's called Zavex, which they do all the NFL combine timing and all that good stuff. So hopefully we have a good crowd come in on December 14th in Ocean Springs.
Wow, sounds like you will for sure. I want to talk to you about your relationship with Oklahoma because, you know, anybody that's watched The Best That Ever Was know that, you know, it was an interesting saga with you there in Norman, and you said you regretted leaving, but you're back full-fledged now. I follow you on social media. You get back to Norman a lot. You visit with Barry Switzer. The Oklahoma family loves you to death. So talk about the way that you rebuilt that relationship and what that means to you.
Well, it meant a lot because, you know, I really went to Oklahoma. I really enjoyed Oklahoma. I was there. I love the fans there. They're just about like Alabama fans. They're diehard. And just having the opportunity, after they seen the 30 for 30, I think these guys are understanding of how I felt and what went on when I was there. And I go back all the time. And Coach Switzer are working on some deals right now, Walmart, Costco, and Kroger. And everything is good. Just trying to make, you know, make things happen in real life.
And your connection to Alabama, of course, you were recruited by Coach Bryant heavily. And I know you considered Alabama. And, of course, Marquez signed with Dennis Franchione. Of course, Charlie North, who had been at Oklahoma, was on that staff at Alabama, growing up in Philadelphia, Mississippi, just across the state line. So you've always had a strong connection to Alabama, even though you didn't go to school or play here.
Yes, indeed. I still support Alabama. I still watch them. I have a lot of kids from Philadelphia, Will Brand, Jamie Carter, a couple other guys that we know in the area from Starkville and all that. And so we still support Alabama. And I have a lot of friends who played in Alabama. I hang out with Chris Edwards. And he's always cooking and barbecuing. And another guy, I can't think of his name right now. But we always support Alabama because they're close. And always had a place in my heart for Coach Bryant. And a lot of people don't know. I talk to people all the time, like, why didn't you go to Alabama? And I'm like, well, Coach Bryant told me not to come there because he wasn't going to be there long, which, you know, he died, what, a year later?
Yeah, he did. He did.
So, he was like, if you come here to play with me, Marcus, don't come because I won't be here much longer. So I appreciate you letting me know for that.
Now you know the rest of the story. He was very honest with you. Are you coming to the game on Saturday?
Actually, I got to fly to Oklahoma for a watch party. So the casinos up there want me to come up there for the watch. Me and Jamil Holloway. So we're gonna be in the Grand Oklahoma. There's a big casino there, and so we're gonna be signing autographs and watching the game.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be a fun way to do it. What do you think of this matchup? I know last year, you know, DeBoer's first year, Alabama had gotten themselves in a pretty good position, even after losing to Vanderbilt in Tennessee. If they go into Norman and win that game, they're in the college football playoffs. And they were a big favorite, double-digit favorite in that game. It was a tough year for Oklahoma. And, boy, the Sooners kind of opened up a can on the Crimson Tide. Alabama is in a better position this year in that they've only got one loss. But, once again, Oklahoma's going to try to not only possibly wreck Alabama's season, but Oklahoma's still in playoff contention. So how do you see this matchup Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa?
Man, it's going to be hard to say. You know, looking at Alabama, they lost their first game against Florida State, but like, ever since then, they really picked up the pace. And our quarterback at Oklahoma got hurt before the Texas game. I thought he shouldn't have played, but we didn't look that good, and I think we're starting to bounce back a little bit. We got a lot of offensive linemen are kind of injured. Young Cousins up there is a knee injury. He hadn't played yet. He's a freshman. He's like 6'5", 350. So, Isaiah Dennett. And we still got a lot of people injured on the offensive line, but the defense looks good. If we can, hold their offense down, I really think it's going to end up being a good game. I think better than what everybody's thinking, I think.
I think the defensive line coach, who's a Bama guy, Todd Bates, is one of the best in the country. And that you mentioned that Oklahoma defensive line, they're scary good.
Yes, they're very good. They're very good. I think we can control the line of scrimmage. I think it's going to be a tight game. Whoever makes the least mistakes in this game, I think we'll win the game.
I agree with you. I think it's going to come down to who protects the football and does all the little things. Of course, I've had you on here before, and I've known you for many, many years, going back to my time there at WTOK and Meridian. But for those that don't know the story, and there's still a lot of young people out there who don't know, your story is one of – it had it all. And I encourage people, if they haven't seen the 30 for 30, to watch it on you, because coming out of high school, you were the most celebrated high school running back maybe ever. It's documented that coaches from Texas and Oklahoma rented apartments or hotel rooms or whatever it was in Philadelphia just to recruit you full time. You go to Oklahoma, Switzer changed the offense for you. You had an incredible 1 year there. We know that I know the story with Mr. Fairley and leaving there and enrolling at Southern Miss and winding up in the USFL. It was still going to work out for you. You were going to tear up the USFL. You were going to go to the NFL. And you were going to make a ton of money, and then you tore up your knee. And, I mean, tore it up. And I tell the story often to all the people that watch your tape in high school in Oklahoma, the true story of how good you were comes from after that tearing up your knee, 5 years out of football, ballooning to 300 pounds, then making that decision to get back in shape, and your grandmother's aluminum storage bin, putting that electric heater in there, lifting weights, running, and making the Los Angeles Rams really on one good knee. Go through that. I kind of laid it out, but where were you at in your life when you said, you know what, I'm not done with football and I'm going to make a comeback?
Well, the guy that represented me at the time was Bud Holmes, who also represented Walter Payton and a number of the guys from Jackson State. And he took me to a New Orleans Saints game, and just being there in the box and watching those guys run around, you know, I made that decision that day that, if God gave me the strength to work out these next 3 months or whatever, I was going to give it all my best I could to be in the best shape possible to be able to come back and make a team. And I just didn't want to get old wondering, what if? You know, a lot of older people I heard back then when I was younger, and I didn't want to be one of those guys saying, man, if I just would have tried one more time. So I gave it all I had, and I made the team, and the rest is history. Matter of fact, since you brought up the 30 for 30, I just signed a deal to do. They're going to do a life story on me, action movie. We're just working on the script right now. The working title right now is called The Burden of Greatness.
Wow. Breaking some news here. A movie. Holy cow.
You heard it here first, Gary.
Absolutely. Do you have any idea who's going to play you, or who would you like to play you?
We don't know right now. We really just putting the script together. The same people who own the 007 franchise is the one backing it. They also did Emmett Till also. So they kind of know a little bit about Mississippi. They also did Mississippi Burning. So they kind of know a little bit about Philadelphia and the history and all that. So we're working on the script as we speak right now.
That's going to be interesting, because to find a guy, even among the modern athletes, that is big and strong enough and fast enough, even for a movie, to play you, that's going to be interesting when they start doing casting calls. It might have to be a current NFL guy. It might have to be a former college running back. But to find somebody that can physically match up to you is going to be difficult, but that's going to be interesting. Do you have any idea you're working on the script? Any idea when a release date might be? You have obviously a long way to go, but a couple years, when do you think it'll be out?
I would think if we can finish up by February, I think by 2027.
Okay, that'd be awesome, man. I'll look forward to that.
Movie's different now, so, you know, it don't take 6 or 7 months to make a movie now. You know, you almost do a movie in a month. So,
yeah.
Everything works out right. So, with all this new technology.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. They can do it a lot faster than they used to. Well, that's something to look forward to. Well, it's really cool how you've gotten back involved with football, involved with Oklahoma, and took a story that could have ended poorly and turned it into a great success story. And
You like living, you've always kind of liked living down there on the Gulf Coast, haven't you? That's kind of, I know Philadelphia will always be home, but you love the Gulf Coast of Mississippi.
I do. It's kind of diverse. You see a lot of different people, and I met a lot of good people down there, and I got a bunch of cousins that live there in Marfa and Pascagoula. So it works for me, and it's not far from Florida and not far from New Orleans, because I still love New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans is great. All right, I can't have you on and not ask you about the portal and NIL and all the rule changes, because you were pay-for-play before pay-for-play was legal. You wanted to be able to dictate where you played before there was a portal, and now you were kind of a trend. You were a trendsetter. You were on the frontier before all this became legal. But now this is kind of what you championed, even when you were in college, that players should have the right to play where they want without having to sit out, and that players should be paid. And here we are, 40 something years later, and that's what we have. Your thoughts on where football and college athletics is now?
Well, I get that same question asked all the time, and I'd be like, my mom back in 1992 was talking about NIL back then. She really didn't know what she was talking about, but she came to a game and they had on, the whole stadium had Ron Marcus Run t-shirts on. And so after the game, I come out of the locker room and get into the dorm, and she's like, hold on, Marcus, are they paying you for those shirts? I said, no, ma'am, this is fabulous. He said, well, we got to figure that out. You go on to the dorm, and I'm going to go up here and talk to Swizzle. So she was talking NIL way back in 1982.
Isn't that something? Yeah, didn't even know what it was, but knew, hey, everybody's wearing a Marcus Dupree jersey. We ought to be getting something
exactly.
For that.
Exactly. So, yeah, she was on it now.
and here we are now. So I want to ask you, because when I was over there, I got to know him. Your high school coach at Philadelphia,
Joe Wood.
Is he still living, Marcus?
He's still living. I talk to him at least once a week. He always said, Marcus, we can go back and do it just one more time.
He was great for you. He was a great football coach for you, wasn't he?
Oh, no doubt. He brought in some guys around us, Neil Hitchcock, Coach Draper, Coach Cook. We had a great staff. They had us prepared for every game. I was prepared for when I went to college. I mean, we worked out like we were college kids, and we were ready. I mean, Michael Smith, Charles Tree McAfee, all those guys are ready to play when he went to, when we all went to college.
And he really helped protect you because, like I said, you had coaches moving into Philadelphia. I mean, you would have never gotten a free breath, but he kept those guys at bay and made them go through a pretty good program, didn't he? As far as managing time and keeping you, trying to keep it as normal for you as he could.
Oh, they did. They really did. And because I get that question, was it a lot of pressure? There really wasn't a lot of pressure. My mom and Coach Wood and the superintendent, they had a list of how things should go. And they stuck with it. And my mom made them stick with what we had planned. And it really wasn't that much pressure. I just enjoyed my time in high school. And the only person it got down to was the last day when I had the phone.
I remember interviewing him one time in his office, and I asked him about coaching you, and he said, well, Gary, I mean, any coach, if they weren't smart enough to know you give the ball to 22, then they shouldn't be coaching. He said it was pretty simple. We wanted to get the ball to him every play if we could. Kick off, punt, hand it to him, pitch it to him. He said it went into the philosophy, just get 22 the ball, and in high school again, if people can find that film. And it's out there. Your high school film is out there. I mean, we hear this term, but really it was almost illegal. It was a man against boys. Did you ever feel like, of course, it's all fair, but did you ever, and I think you said this one time, that might have hurt you later in your career, is football was just so easy for you because you were just so much better than everybody else.
You know what? My teammates made me better. Growing up in my neighborhood, we were always playing against older guys. So it was just when I got to high school and just, you know, like I said, just guys that I played with, they pushed you. I mean, if you didn't bring your A game every day, you might get hurt. I mean, for a 2A school, we had 80 guys on our team my junior year. And everybody could play, everybody could run. We all grew up together in Boy Scout, Cub Scout, playing junior high basketball. So we all knew each other, like, you know, just growing up with knowing each other. And they all would push you. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, they would call you out on it. So I never wanted to be called out. I always wanted to be, you know, be the guy who I always wanted to be the bell cow, I guess you would say. But I always wanted to compete and I always wanted to win. And that's the type of teammates I had and the mentality that we had.
All right, Marcus, let me ask you this as we close, because it was the era of the running back. I mean, now, of course, everything's spread out and throwing the football. And now Derrick Henry's kind of a throwback, but for the most part, we don't have running backs like you anymore. But you had a lot of them, but not a lot of them. But you, Bo, Herschel, George Rogers, Eric Dickerson. I mean, those. Do you ever talk to any of those guys, your contemporaries? Do you have a relationship with any of them? Because that was a special time.
I do. Herschel always comes to Philadelphia all the time. I see him. Okay. I talk to Earl Campbell at least twice a month. Yeah, I talk to Earl. I mean, I can pick up the phone right now and put him online right now. We talk all the time. I talk more to Earl than I do anybody. I see Eric at a golf tournament every now and then. But I talk to Earl all the time.
Bum Phillips still has the greatest line ever about Earl Campbell, Marcus, when he was coaching the Oilers. They had the mile conditioning run, all the NFL teams, and Earl never could finish it. And they're supposed to be,
Earl is not by himself, Gary. I can never finish that run either.
Well, yeah, this is kind of where I'm going with this. So you know, you're supposed to, I guess, find a guy or whatever, you know, not let him and Earl always failed the conditioning run. So one of the reporters at training camp asked Bum about, he said, did Earl finish the mile conditioning run? He said, no, sir, he didn't finish it. He said, well, what's the penalty there? He says, well, when it's third and a mile, I make sure I don't give you the ball.
<That's true. laughs>
Third and a mile, we won't give it to him, but any other time, we will. He wasn't worried about Earl finishing that conditioning run. And I don't guess Switzer was too worried about you finishing it either, because you never run a mile. That's the thing about a mile condition run. You don't ever run a mile in a football game, you know?
No, never run a mile in a football game.
Yeah, Louis Kelster, the big defensive tackle from TCU, had a great line too, because he ran like a 5.8 40. And they asked him, you know, if he's worried about getting his 40-yard time down. And he said, nah, if I got to run 40 yards, I ain't going to catch anybody anyway. There's some great lines from those days. Hey, well, I got to run, Marcus, man. It's great to catch up with you. I appreciate you jumping on. This is a big week for Alabama and for Oklahoma. Great to have Oklahoma in the SEC. And I'll have you on again because I want to keep up with this movie. So I guess there'll be social media updates on the movie, right?
I was going to talk to the world. Back in the spring, I guess, right before summer. We were speaking at a deal down in Mobile for Joe and Mike Godfrey, Team Focus. And I met Coach DeBoer then. We had a great time. And he got a hell of a build it up. Marcus, I'm like, if I did, it wouldn't be worth it. So I got a chance to meet him. I really like the guy.
Yeah, good. Well, good. He's a good guy. I'm really impressed with him. Hey, thank you so much, Marcus.
Thank you. Give me a call that time, Gary. You know I'm here for you,
Mark. Well, I appreciate you, man. See you at 10:53 here on the Gary Harris Show. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap it up right after this.
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour.
On new floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it.
Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today with a nice warm up after a very cold morning, the high 51. Clear tonight, not as cold as last night, the low 33. And a beautiful day tomorrow, the sky sunny, the high in the mid 60s at 65. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Great song, Van Halen. Welcome to back. Jump. I get up.
Yeah, that's enough of that. All right, good show today, and lunch is right around the corner, and I like Frickin' Spoon because I can get breakfast, I can get brunch, or I can get lunch. Open 7 to 2 every day, 7 days a week, downtown Timberson Square. I was in there yesterday. I had the ham and cheese omelet. I had French toast. I really indulged myself. I had a banana, mixed fruit, and it was awesome. So beautiful, beautiful place to eat. Breakfast, lunch, or brunch, and when it's warm, you can sit outside. That's Brick and Spoon downtown at Timberson Square. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the show. Our thanks to Drudy Armin, of course, the legendary Marcus Dupree, jumping on with us. Thanks to Chase for running the controls, taking care of me. And we'll be back tomorrow and do it on the Wednesday edition of the Gary Harris Show. Tider Insider TV tonight with Rodney Orr at 6:30 on WVUA 23. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy this sunshine, and it's going to warm up nicely this afternoon.